Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock, and welcome to my lifestyle podcast, Live Without a Net. The podcast showcases people who live fearlessly and have the ambition to create something. I'll showcase change makers who have decided to let go of their safety net in order to survive. So let's jump right in. Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock. Welcome to Live Without a Net. I have the founder and CEO of Kids Real Estate and Financial Literacy Academy, Leonard Nesmith. How are you?
I'm doing well. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm good. It's a little rainy outside, but sunny and warm inside, right, for us.
I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the rain, because we're not too far from one another, the temperature for it to be December is great. So I understand it's raining, but, you know, it's like almost 60 degrees outside, so you can't beat that for a December day.
Agreed. It was definitely in the 60s. I think that will change by tomorrow with the rain. But in the meantime, you're right. I didn't need a coat, just a sweatshirt. I'll take that any day of the week. So all's good. So Leonard, let's talk about your beginning of being in the workforce and how it's transitioned into an entrepreneur. I kind of want to hear what you used to do before I get into how you lived without a net.
Yeah, not a problem. So I ran an organization. It was a medical billing company where what we did was we had contracts with physician groups and hospitals, and our niche was workers' comp and auto. So in short, if an individual get into a car accident or if they get injured on a job and visit and get treatment from one of the facilities we contracted with, mm-hmm. we were the company that was making sure that all the bills got paid from the State Farms, the Allstates. And my title there was the VP of operations, which I was responsible for, I guess, the whole entire organization. I had roughly about a staff of 200 people at one time, responsible for well over $1 billion of AR. And to keep my job, I had to collect over $300 million for our clients annually. So that was fun.
Wow. So you know how to get your money then if you're getting other people's money.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a different industry, you know, and it was fun while I lasted. And I was there for about 22 years.
Wow. Good for you. And then one day you said, hey, I should just start a foundation to help kids with literacy and finances. Or where does that come from?
It's a good question. Well, actually, it wasn't that I said one day, hey, I'm going to kick the bucket. The bucket actually kicked me. What that means. So one thing I did, which I suggest for everyone, is to always follow that little guy or girl in your back of your head. So while I was working, I decided to invest into real estate. And I had a goal, and that's why goals are so important. I'll say, you know what? I'm going to purchase at least one property a year. Now, truth be told is I enjoyed what I was doing. I enjoyed my job. I enjoyed helping people. I enjoyed seeing low-level individuals come in. We provide them with a skill. They take that skill, run with it, and start to make some money and change their lives, go from driving a beat-up car to going to get a nice car to living with their parents to moving out to an apartment or a house and buying a house of their own. So those things really excited me on the reason why I was working. But what happened here is I was working there, and about year 18, it was privately owned. He decided to sell. So he sold to a corporate, which was fine. And so we were going through that motion. Then, you know, the COVID thing hit, and, you know, we're in the niche of workers' comp and auto. So mm-hmm. when COVID hit, obviously no one was driving. Nobody was working. So a lot of things went downhill. Another thing that was big for us was we got hacked. And, you know, yeah, shut down our whole entire organization in the Cherry Hill side. And we were hacked, and it lasted probably about 4 weeks. You know, real funny story with that is the hackers at the end asked us for a testimonial. So,
wow, seriously, yes. I've never heard that before.
Yes, it was interesting because they said we need testimonials. So the next person we hack, we can say, hey, here's 10 other companies we hacked. Give us the money sooner rather than wait and find out if we're the real deal. So we found that to be a little amusing. So with COVID and with the hacking, we really took a big hit. And behind the scenes above me, I didn't know that they were positioning the company to be resold. So when that happened, they decided to lay me off. And that's when, actually I was sitting right here. I never forget. I was training for 10-mile runs. I was out that morning running 6 miles, and my COO called me. And I was like, hey, I give you a call back. So I came back into the office, gave her a call back. And I always think after 22 years of your life and hours and the long nights and the sacrifice, it took less than 2 minutes for them to say, hey, I have to let you go. And it was interesting, but I sat my head back, kind of sort of like this for those who can watch this. And then for maybe 10 seconds, then I popped up and I said a curse word. I said, oh, ish. I have to find health insurance, because, that's the big thing. But it was great that I could say that, because at that time I built up enough real estate where my real estate income was more than enough to cover all my bills, cover all my expenses. And also I have a son, and I just want to make sure his life never changed, things that he wants to do. So at that point in time, I said, hey, what do I want to do? So the first thing I did was I opened up a podcast. So I have a co-host out in California, our podcast called Find Your Freedom. We did that. And then the second thing was pretty interesting, because I always sat back and thought, how can I take what I know, what I have learned, and start to teach my, at the time, he was maybe 10 or 11 years old, son, how can I take that, my knowledge? So I started to package this. I always was thinking, and I sat here, right, once again in the lab at my office, and I wrote a note. And it's on my vision board. I have a vision board right in front of me. And I wrote a note and I said, Lord, should I teach the kids real estate? And I put the note on my vision board and I didn't think anything of it. So I swear, maybe 2 months later, I'm driving down the street, my son and I have some money orders from some tenants that we just moved in to some of our units. And I asked my son, hey, add up these money orders so I can run into this bank, deposit the money, and we could be off doing our thing. While he was adding it up, I took a picture of him and I put that picture on social media. And I say, hey, try to get your kids involved in your business any way, shape, or form. Look, I have my son here adding up some money orders. That was it. Put it on social media, went to the bank, made the deposit. My son and I went off, did whatever he wanted to do. Came back here maybe 3 or 4 hours later, and I opened up social media and I had about 10 to 15 messages from different parents saying, hey, I would love for my kid to learn. And that's how we birthed the Kids Real Estate and Financial Literacy Academy.
Wow, that is unbelievable. It's great knowledge for young kids to learn finances at a young age. I have a wealth manager as a client, so I always say, do you want to do something with kids? Do you want to talk at a school? Like, it's so important. So I see what you're saying. How old's your son?
Currently, right now, my son's 12.
Cute. That's a good age. I have a nephew that age. That's fun. They're very curious.
Yes,
Have good
very.
ideas. Very entrepreneurial. And I don't know if he's into cologne like my nephew is, but that's a thing for them.
You know what? My son, no, he's not into cologne yet, but he did start his own business, which I thought was pretty cool. And what he did was he, I always say, solve a problem, solve a problem, solve a problem. And one of the things he did was say, you know what? I see people taking the trash cans back and forth. You have your trash can at your house, and then trash day, you have to take your trash can and put it to the curb. So he knocked on a whole bunch of doors. I didn't even know he was going out knocking on doors. I probably would have ruined his business, because I would have said, hold on, son, you just can't go out and knock on doors. So I'm happy that he didn't even tell me. And he knocked on maybe about 10 doors to 15 doors. And I think he got about four people that said yes. And that was his, I think he charged them about $2 to $3 or something. And what he does is every trash day, he goes around, put their trash to the curb. And once the trash is taken, he takes it and brings it back to wherever their trash location is on their property. And he was doing that for weeks. And, you know, and a couple more neighbors jumped on and he started his entrepreneurial business. So I was proud of him.
I love that. I'd be so proud too. That gives him the hustle and he'll understand what the feeling is as he gets older. That's so
Absolutely.
cool. And tell us about Kids Real Estate and Financial Literacy Academy. So you just launched it in what year and how'd you get the word out?
So it was launched in 2023 and late 2023, I may add. And what I did was the power of social media. So, you know, the individuals obviously who responded to a post, and I responded to them first saying, hey, you know, I'm gonna put together a class and go from there. So that's what I did. I put together 10 hours of content and I broke the class up into four pillars, I like to call it. And anything that I do, I'm really big on mindset. I'm really big on confidence building. So I had to put that there. But I'm going to tell you, Jennifer, I was nervous as all because I also coach adults as well. And there's a few amount of adults who like mindset, right? And I said to myself, how in the world am I going to teach? Because this was roughly 11 and 12 year olds. How in the world I'm going to teach 11 and 12 year olds for 2.5 hours, I might add, about mindset and confidence building. So I was nervous. So my first class, I went and I said, you know what? You got to give it a shot. You just never know. So we went, did the class, and I budgeted for 5 minutes of Q&A at the end. So at the end, that 5 minutes turned into 25 minutes of them repeating back to me all the things that they learned in the class. I'm telling you, I really wanted to sit there and cry because I was like, wow, this was impressive. So pillar one is all about mindset. Pillar one is all about confidence building, emotional learning, you know, conflict resolution. You know, it's all about that. And I teach it and I say, hey, these are the things that you have to do. All right. Pillar two is all about entrepreneurship. So in that pillar, you know, I teach them, hey, to create a business, you have to solve a problem. You know, also we build a business in class. So we role play. I provide the youth with scripts. So they get some pick to be owners, some pick to be customers, some pick to be employees, and we run through the scripts. And it's the one business I always like to fall back on because people really get it is a lawnmower business. And I'm gonna tell you a quick story. So it always makes me laugh. So the employee, his job was to go to the customer, and he had, and you know, it's a whole acting. So we get props. They have to take the thing across town, right? All the equipment. And he had to go mow the lawn. So that's what he did. And then he had to pick the money up from the customer and bring everything back and then give the money to the owner. And then the owner pays him out. So at a certain point in time, I stopped teaching in that pillar and I just start asking insightful questions so people understand the roles that they played, understand how business works. And the one question I asked was to the couple of employees, I said, hey, how did you feel about all the work that you have done? Turned the money into the owner and what you got paid. This one kid stood up and said, "Get robbed," you know?
What
And
did he say?
I got robbed, you know.
Oh,
Oh man, yeah. And I wanted to laugh so hard right then and there, but I couldn't. I'm like, "Why did you feel this way?" He said, "Man, all this work that I did, and I had to turn this money in, and he only gave me a small portion." Now, just so
no.
happened in that class, one of the owners just so happened to have parents that are entrepreneurs. So they must have taught him something. So he stood up and said, well, all this money is not mine. I have to pay for insurance. I have to, you know, pay to hold the equipment, you know, and it was great dialogue without me having to straighten it out. All of them just talking to one another about how business works. So
Wow.
that's the big thing about that pillar. To me is I always want everybody to know how business work. And I also make it very clear to them that it's okay to be an employee and it's okay to be a business owner. I just want them to know that they have choice because when I was their age, And I was growing up, I never even heard the word entrepreneur until I was over 18. So for me, I didn't feel as though I had choice to sit there and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to start my own business one day. No, everything that I thought was I had to go and get a job because that's what I saw in my environment in the way that I grew up. So it's important to me to let them know that. So pillar four is the financial literacy piece. And in that pillar, you know, I have a big, huge deck, a ton of things that we can teach. I usually get with my clients and kind of figure out what they want to be taught. But I always really like to focus on credit because I'm going to tell you, this is just my belief. When your credit is good, life is just a little better for you. And in so many different ways, you have less stress, you know, which is the biggest killer in anybody productivity, you know, and in that pillar, we focus on like credit. We also focus on good debt versus bad debt, which is super important. And we also focus on assets versus liabilities in that pillar as well. Now, in pillar four, obviously, I'm a real estate investor, so I had to throw in that niche. So I teach them how to invest into real estate. I teach them the four ways to make money. I teach them the terminology. We analyze deals, and I like to analyze deals that's over $500,000 because I like to normalize big numbers with youth. And also in that pillar, I'm a firm believer in not allowing the wind just to blow you in any direction, but designing your life. And there's only one way to do that, and that's to have SMART goals. So we teach them how to write SMART goals. And then right after that, we create a vision board with them. We create a vision board showing them what their future looked like. And then we graduate the youth with certificates of completion. And we focus on youth between grades 4th through 12th.
Okay, wow, that's impressive. That's all stuff I wish I learned at a young age. So, how do they sign up? How does that work that they find out about it? Because I love that they're talking in these deep conversations about what it's like to be a business owner and the bills you have to pay and the vendors you have. I mean, that really teaches them something that most people wouldn't know about that young. So, it's like, how are they finding, like, how are they signing up? And who are their parents encouraging them, or how does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I have two things going on. So I have independent classes where parents who see the value and want to get their kids involved, they can contact me. They look at the dates that's open and they sign up that way. Pretty simple. And then we also partner up with schools and we partner up with youth groups and we do workshops and assemblies. So when I'm partnering up with schools, I sit down with them, you know, we figure out the times, we figure out how many students they want to be involved. And then that's when we put the workshop together. The workshop is really more catered. It's more like a la carte when it comes to the youth organizations and school districts. To give you an example, on this past Tuesday, the Food Bank of South Jersey, they have a youth group and they just wanted me to come in there and teach financial literacy. So we did one workshop with them, and the workshop was roughly about 2 hours, and that's what I taught, financial literacy. We taught and I had to throw a whole bunch of other things in there because that's just what I do, right? But you know, I gave them 15 different entrepreneurial jobs that they can go out and get, and I told them the things to do to go out and get them. We taught them about what a paycheck is, you know, broke the whole paycheck down, taxes, gross, net. We also taught them about a budget, you know, which is super important to have. We taught them about savings, so we put them on a savings plan. We create a budget writing class, create a savings plan writing class. We taught them about investing and how important it is to invest early. You know, I just have these items in my slides just to let them know, hey, if you start investing at this time, at that time, at this time, at this time, look how much you can save and you can invest a small amount. You know, I put them on because a lot of kids in that class, they have jobs now. So, you know, I help them with a budget so they know, okay, this is what's going to savings. This is what's going to go to investments. This is what's going to my wants. This is what's going to my needs, you know, and a few other things that we just taught. So that's just like the financial literacy pillar. I'm dealing with a Camden High School where we're doing six workshops with them and it's just strict real estate. So I'm basically, they are 11th graders, I believe, and 10th and 11th graders. And we're just focusing everything on real estate with a concentration on house hacking. So depending on what the schools and the youth groups want, we cater to them. You know, we cater to the time that they have, as well as how many workshops they would like to have.
Okay, and do you have a real estate license or any type of credentials that you need, or is it just more or less your entrepreneurial experience, which is also fine because that would be like me? Are there certain protocols in place, or is it just, your experience with so much?
Yeah, just 100% my experience. And I am a real estate investor, not a real estate agent. And that's the biggest thing. Actually, that's the first slide I always show when I'm teaching real estate investments, because the youth, they get it confused, which, you know, some people think, oh, you know, you have to be an agent to be an investor, which is not true. I'm just the individual who hired the agents to go find me the properties, you know? But no, you don't need any credentials. I just bring all of my experience, you know, from real estate investing, which is well over 10 years. And we package that up, and we teach the kids how to go out and take down some deals.
I love that. Do you have any events coming up or anything that people can, I don't know, whether it's buying a ticket or come out and watch or learn more about the program?
Yeah, so we're going to have some things coming up in February. We also have some things coming up in March as well. They just got to stay tuned to the website. So what I tell people do is you can log in, not log in, but you can opt in on the website, and we'll send you emails on, you know, if you want to involve your kids from a independent perspective, you know, or if you happen to be a teacher or anyone that work in a school district or youth group and you want to contact me, you could contact me through the website as well. We can come in, we can have a conversation, and we can bring our, and we also come to you, which is the important part, right? So
Right.
we actually come to your establishment, and we, you know, administer the four pillar program.
That's great. Yeah, if there's any way I can help you get the word out, let me know.
Thank you.
But thank you for explaining the program. But I want to know about you. So what really, I know you had mentioned in the questionnaire that you wish you had invested in real estate a long time ago. Things you've learned about the best part about entrepreneurship, but I want to hear from you in terms of like what you think the best part really is and why you finally took the leap of faith.
Well, you know, like I said, I was working for a company for 22 years, and truth be told is I enjoyed working there. But, you know, I didn't see, I can't see the future. I can't tell the future, right? And if I would have known that after 22 years I was going to be laid off, then I would have just doubled down or tripled down into my real estate earlier, and I would have started my journey earlier, because, you know, that's what I would have done. And when I think about it and I sit back and I say, you know, what's the most important thing when it comes to this entrepreneur thing? When I first was thinking about it, it was money. I'm not going to lie. Like, oh my God, you know, I have opportunity to really have no ceiling. I can go out and write my own paycheck. But then I started to think about what's important to me. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy having, you know, some money. I don't have a lot of it, but I have some money to allow my family to do some cool stuff. And what's really important to me is having the freedom. And I have a mother, which, you know, she's 86 years old. Just to give you a little history of myself, my mother had 10 children, 10.
Wow.
And yes, and I'm the 10th kid, right? I'm the 10th kid.
The
And
baby.
yeah, and you know, we grew up in North Philadelphia. For those that might know, we grew up in a 3-bedroom, 1-bath row home. 10 kids, actually 12 of us, because it was 10 kids, my mother, and then I had a nephew. I have a nephew that's older than me. You know, he grew up like a brother. And you know, my mother sacrificed a lot, and I didn't know at the time, because I come from a very bad environment. And you know, for me not to, you know, make decisions to go hang on a corner and, you know, do those type of things, you know, my mother did things for me that I just was unaware. She made sure that, you know, I had the best sneakers on. She made sure that I had the latest and greatest, you know, clothes and Nintendo games and you know, Sega Genesis and all those things back then. You know, and what I didn't know was she was sacrificing the electric bill that month. You know, she was sacrificing the gas bill that month. to sit here and to allow me to have these materialistic things. So my payback is to do any and everything I could do for my mom. My mother, she loves to go to the casino, so I was happy that I was able to take her to Vegas, because she'd never been.
Wow, that's wonderful.
That was special to me. What was special to me is I was able to sit here and purchase, property in Myrtle Beach. And one of the places my mom liked to go, I remember I only went on a few vacations as a kid, and that vacation was a family reunion. My mother always talked about it. If and by me having property, I'm able to sit here and take my mother back down to Myrtle Beach. I took my mother to Myrtle Beach. I took my mother to a Dominican Republic. I took my mother to Puerto Rico. I took my mother to a whole bunch of different places. And
Great.
this is my payback. So this is what entrepreneurship allows me to do. Because I'm able to sit here and write my time, because that's important. I don't have to sit here and ask anyone, hey, Jennifer, is it possible I can take my mother out for a birthday, to Las Vegas? I don't have to do that. And I also have the means to do it, and my mother's 86, her health, declined just a tad bit. And I'm able to now be there. Even though I have nine brothers and sisters, I'm the one that sits there and say, Mom, when are your doctor's appointments? Let's sync calendars. And I'm the one that go to Philly, go pick my mother up, go take her to her doctor's appointments, argue with those doctors because we got to figure out what in the world is going to be the next move. And then, go out to lunch with my mother and then take her back home. That to me, and being able to raise my son and be home when he comes home and hug him before he goes to school and any event that he has or in school I can attend, that to me became so much more important than the money.
Yeah, my gosh, you're the chosen one, golden child.
I wouldn't say that, but
I get it. I'm the youngest
okay.
too. I know. That's so sweet that you do that, and I'm sure she's so appreciative that you
Yes.
have the time and the flexibility to be able to take her around, and that's wonderful. You got to take advantage. You never know when life is over.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
That's
that's
correct.
beautiful. And you have a son, right?
Yes.
And he's actively involved in the program.
Yeah, so he's not just actively involved in the program, but he helps me out. So when, like, for example, when we went to the food bank, which I know is coming, he invoices me for his times.
Smart man, smart
Yeah,
young
so
man.
he helps me with just, taking the camera around and doing some recording. So we have a few things to post on social media. And it's funny because this is a few classes back. He did some recording for me, and the invoice he sent was outrageous. I said, his mother helped him create this invoice, and and I looked at my wife like, really? She said, I did not put the numbers in. He did. And I was like, all right, I love you, son, but you got to bring that number down. But it's pretty
Right.
cool that he understands, hey, if you're going to do a job, you're supposed to invoice for it, and that's the most important part. But more importantly, when he's not in school and he's able to attend, and I have workshops that are during times that he can attend, he actually comes and he invoices me for his help that he helped out with setting up and all that good stuff. So
He's gonna want to raise for next year.
we going to see. Hopefully, he ain't listening to this.
Right. So do you have any advice for people that are scared to kind of go off on their own?
You know what? There's Jim Rohn, and he says some cool stuff. I'm paraphrasing here, but he says everything is risky. He says, life is even risky, and because you're not going to get out alive. So, when I heard that, I just really said he's right, and obviously, with risk comes reward. So my advice is this: sit down and a pen and a pad and take everything that's in your mind. I always say, write down everything you can think of, right? And try to get to 100 things, 100 things. Some people get to 80, some people get to 30, some people get to 50. But what it does is it takes everything out of your mind and you're able to put it on paper. Now that you have it on paper, there's about two to four things that's out of your 50 list or 60 list that actually means something, right? And you
Right.
prioritize that, and I say, once you see them, then you go after them. You do whatever you have to do. You make whatever sacrifices you have to make if that's what you want and that's what you do. And usually when I tell people that and coach people that, they clearly see the things that are important to them. They tie, a why behind it to get through those days that they're not motivated to do the work,
Yeah.
and then they go from there. So that would be my advice.
Any great self-help books or podcasts that you listen to?
Yeah, so let's talk about books. So there's one book called the E-Myth Revised by Michael Gerber. So I highly suggest if you're going to get into entrepreneurship, that's a book that you read. Now, life is all about our habits. Life is about habits, habits, habits. So you got to read a habit book. There's a book called Atomic Habits by James Clear, I believe. And what that book teaches you is about habits and making what you want to do in life just a habit so it get done, as well as how to stack habits on top of habits, which is important. Another book, which I just enjoy, I actually got the audio book for this one because she's just a character. Her name is Mel Robbins, The 5 Second Rule.
I love her, yeah.
And yeah, she's just so funny to me. But more importantly, look, everybody have days where they don't want to get out of bed. Everyone have days where there is just hard to be disciplined in whatever it is. And that 5 second rule helps you become disciplined in those areas that you struggle. Let me see. Is there any other books I would suggest? Maybe Who Not How, by Dan Sullivan. That's a pretty good one. I probably can go on and on and
I
on. So I just
know.
stop there.
I think you and I liked The Power of One More. Was it you and our one podcast with Steve? I think so. Ed
Oh.
Mylett. It's a good one. I never even finished it. I have it. Is this it?
The
Oh yeah,
power of
I
one
do have
book.
it here. No, I got it and I need to finish it. But here's one, The Power of One
Yeah.
More.
Yeah,
That's a
I
good
didn't
one.
read that one yet.
I know I have so many around here that I don't finish. Yeah, so how can people get in touch with you? I mean, you're very inspiring. You have a great future ahead of you. I hope you keep investing and get multiple properties. You could teach me in the process. I would love to get in real estate.
Awesome. I would love to.
Thank
So
you.
yeah, a few ways. So obviously I'm on social media. You can look me up, Leonard Nesmith. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm on LinkedIn, Leonard Nesmith, or you can look up Lenny the Boss. That's LENNY the THE Boss, BOSS. Or you can go to my website, which is kidsrealestateacademy.com. Once again, kidsrealestateacademy.com. You can go, you can, I suggest that you opt in so you can get on my list and receive, some emails. However, our email, our website is being revamped as we speak. So it's sometime in the mid, I think our date is mid-January, is going to be a totally different, website. But if you are, parents that are guardians that want to get your kids involved in some independent classes, you can contact me. If you work for any school district, if you're a teacher, superintendent, or work in the school district, and you want me to come and bring our academy to your school, you could contact me for assemblies as well as workshops, and that's the same for any youth group organizations.
Okay, I love it. Thank you so much, Leonard. I'll definitely get that out in the captions and on the podcast, YouTube,
Awesome.
Spotify, Apple, everywhere. So it was such a pleasure. Thank you again. Good luck with all you do in the new year and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you too. And once again, I appreciate you having me on.
Well, that's it for now. Thanks everyone for joining us. Please reach out to me so I can feature you on my show. I do respond to everyone. You can find me on my Instagram at Jennifer Sherlock or my business Instagram at JennaCom. And check out our new website coming soon, livewithoutanet.com. Thanks again, and I look forward to taking risks with you.